Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we had a good conversation. Yes, we talked about these nasty, low-down, neglectful, irresponsible judges. Yes, two judges. One judge who gave no time served at all. Well, I guess if you want to say time served, yeah, to the 53-year-old man who rode his bike into the Black Lives Matter protest and left three Molotov cocktails there. And time served is what he was given when the judge felt that, he was stressed out. He had a breakdown when he lost his job as a medical salesman and lost his father and his friend to death. Yes, he didn't feel as though he should get any time. And the other Buffalo judge who gave no time to the bratty rich young man, 20 years old, who pled guilty to 4 counts of rape, 3 16-year-olds and 1 15-year-old young lady was raped by this man. And he said, I did it. But for some reason, after the judge prayed and agonized over the sentencing, he decided to give the young man no time. No time for the crimes that were committed. What a travesty. What a travesty. Well, the biggest conversation was the conversation that we had regarding the pastor and his 400-member congregation. And the congregation said, to the fact that he decided to join the cast of the HBO We're Here series of drag queens who would go around the towns and the cities of the nation of the United States recruiting new drag queens. Yes, yes, they fired them. Yes, they said absolutely not. The United Methodist Church is not going to have that. You didn't tell us you were going to do that. I don't think you should have taken us by surprise. This is something that we cannot stand for, and they did not. Yes, they fired him. He has up until February 28th to get up out of the Sierra. Yes. So we had a nice little conversation with our panel yesterday, and the panel was like, oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not only did they say absolutely not, but they said absolutely not to the fact that they would be married to someone who actually did this. And you know what his response was? I did it so that I could support my daughter. Yes, his daughter recognizes with the pansexual community, and he felt he wanted to support her. Well, they're all out on their own because nobody else is having it. So, you know, you can't compromise when it comes to the way of the Lord. No. He says, choose ye this day who we will serve. And we have to understand that we've got to make some hard decisions. No, we cannot put our children up against the Lord. You know, the child has already made their decision. And as Pastor K.L. said yesterday, get on your knees and pray for them. Yep, that's about as good as it's going to get from us. And it was so happy to hear that there was a body of Christians who said, absolutely not. We are not going to tolerate this. So, yes for God. So, today is Wow Wednesday. And we're going to have a little shorter show today. But nevertheless, it will be power-packed as always. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our girlfriend Vivian, who's going to give us the socially conscious segment. We're definitely going to have our women of worship today, and we've got some stuff to talk about with them. But like I said, first we got to hear what Vivian's going to talk to us about. We didn't get to hear her last week, but I'm sure she's making up for it this week. So make sure you go grab that healthy breakfast. Make sure you go tell a friend it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and you better get on quick or you just might miss it today. And make sure you don't move your seat because we'll be right back.
Cancer doesn't wait, neither should you. We know COVID-19 is on everyone's mind right now.
But that doesn't mean you should neglect your routine health care. It's important to take care of yourself by doing regular cancer screenings. Screening checks your body for cancer before you have symptoms.
Regular screening tests may find breast, cervical, and colon cancers early, when treatment is likely to work best.
Lung cancer screening is recommended for some people who are at high risk.
Talk with your doctor now about when and how often you should be screened before you develop symptoms.
If you're having symptoms, take action now and call a doctor.
Finding cancer early improves your chances of living longer.
Make sure to ask your doctor about the steps they're taking to keep you safe during visits.
Remember, cancer doesn't wait.
For more information, visit cdc.gov/cancer. This message is brought to you by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, American Cancer Society, and the National Comprehensive Cancer Network.
Good morning and good morning to you. Welcome to In Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to our Wow Wednesday morning. And like I said, we're going to have a little shorter show today, but we're not going to waste any time getting to our girlfriend Vivian, who I'm sure is chomping at the bit now that she's has been on in a minute. Let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you. I'm well. How are you today?
I'm okay. Definitely joining the sick train, unfortunately, but I'm all right.
Oh, you sound a little congested. I hope you feel better, but thank you for pressing your way. Nonetheless, what you got for us today?
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at those COVID numbers, top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days. Our Pennsylvania is number one with 58,591 cases in the last 7 days. That is an increase of over 18,000 cases since 2 weeks ago when we last reported. Ohio is number two with 50,408 cases. That is an increase of over 15,000 cases since we last reported. Michigan is number two. It's number three with 50,253 cases. Another increase of over 11,000 cases. Illinois is number four with 49,668 cases. Another increase of over 14,000 cases. And New York State is number five with 49,337 cases. That is another increase of over 15,000 cases. So as we can see, this week is all increases, unfortunately. But I guess looking on the bright side of things, at least we're not in the 100,000s if we're trying to find a bright spot. But I would definitely like to see these numbers decreasing more consistently. I have no idea what's going on with these numbers. They're saying that it's because of the cold weather. I'm not understanding it, but that's what they're saying. And while we are on the topic of COVID, we have all heard crazy stories of people who try to fake their vaccine cards, their vaccination with bogus vaccine cards. Well, this next story is of a man from Italy who took things a step further and went to get a vaccine wearing a silicone bodysuit. Reports say that the 57-year-old man was out of work prior to this incident because he refused to get the vaccine. So he had the bright idea to go onto Amazon and paid $564 for a silicone prosthetic to wear when he went to go get his vaccine. Unfortunately for him, the nurse noticed that the arm, although it felt realistic, did not match his skin tone. And when she asked him to show her the rest of his arm, he refused. He asked her if she could overlook this. He told the nurse that he was in a bind because he did not want to get the vaccine, but he needed the green pass in order to return to work. And now, to make matters worse, he has been suspended pending the investigation for fraud. Reports say the man is a dentist and has been investigated before for illegally providing dental services. And, he has definitely just ruined his life all because of this stunt. And now we have an update on a story we've been covering for a while. Derek Chauvin is said to be awaiting a hearing to change his plea from not guilty to guilty. If you don't know or don't remember, former Officer Chauvin was convicted in April for killing George Floyd back in May of 2020. Chauvin was sentenced to 22 and a half years. It has been stated that he wants to change his plea. They didn't really say why. They gave no explanation as to why he wants to change it, but I have a sneaky suspicion that this will probably lessen his time in jail. I highly doubt that he is doing this without it benefiting him in some way, but I could be wrong. But yes, I believe today is the trial, is the hearing for him to change his plea from not guilty to guilty. And in other news, New Jersey Turnpike, and Garden State Parkway are increasing their tolls beginning January 1st of 2022. Reports say that the increase will be about 3% and that the board has approved an annual increase of tolls, 3% each year for New Jersey and Garden State. They're saying that these increases will be used to fund capital projects. And this is nothing new because everything is increasing. Gas prices have gone up. Grocery prices have gone up. And now the tolls are going up. Only thing that's not going up is pay rates. Absolutely insane. But in our next story, reports say that schools have seen a dramatic increase in weapons seized compared to 2019. They're saying that from July through November 10th, firearms were recovered at New York City schools. They're saying that 10 firearms were recovered compared to just one firearm being recovered back in 2019 around that same time period. They're saying that they have seized many things outside of just guns. They've seized knives, brass knuckles, pepper spray, stun gun weapons of all kinds, and that children are also making guns on 3D printers that are not detected by metal detectors. Reports say that school safety agents are leaving the job more and more, even though gang violence is increasing in the schools. The NYPD confirmed there are 86 scanning sites across the city out of 1,800 public schools. We already know from previous stories told here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph that violence and gang violence within our youth has definitely increased throughout the years. Officials say they believe that older teenagers and those in their early 20s are the ones giving guns to the younger kids because of lack of consequences. Something definitely needs to be done. One student in an interview said that the reason children bring weapons to school is because, quote, "We are not criminals. We are just trying to be safe in a city that has been made unsafe for us," end quote. This came from a 17-year-old female student who told reporters that she started carrying pepper spray after a man crept up behind her and began rubbing himself on her on the train during her commute to school. The young lady's pepper spray was confiscated at the school after an incident involving another student bringing in a loaded gun forced the school to bring in metal detectors. The young lady stated, quote, "You have a city not addressing the fear, then criminalizing students for protecting themselves," end quote. This is definitely a tricky situation. I would say we need more cops, but we know that hasn't always helped the children on our side of the fence. So what should be done? A very tricky situation indeed. And with that, we have the story of Ethan Crumley, the 15-year-old boy who shot up his Michigan school, killing 4 students and injuring at least 8 others last Tuesday. This all took place at Oxford High School. No motive for the attack has been established as of yet. The parents of the 15-year-old Ethan have also been arrested and charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. It is reported that James and Jennifer Crumley refused to take their son out of school after staff told them he showed warning signs of violence and needed counseling. Reports say that Ethan drew a very disturbing photo in class the day of the shooting. It is also reported that the weapon used during the shooting belonged to the father, James Crumley, and that the semi-automatic 9mm handgun was purchased just 4 days before the attack. Ethan is charged with first-degree murder, terrorism, and assault with the intent of murder, and many people are wondering if the parents were in on it. Nonetheless, officials say that the arrest of the parents in this incident will begin to change how these types of incidents are handled going forward. And now for our wow story of the week. We have all used a rideshare app like Uber or Lyft and have seen the length some drivers will go in order to get or keep their five-star rating. Some have water and snacks, mint, gum, etc. These are some nice things that we appreciate and we partake in if you're not like me and super cautious. Well, we have a 34-year-old Keith Long who is facing charges of aggravated assault, hijacking a motor vehicle, robbery, battery, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime, and trafficking narcotics. All of these charges after he pulled out not one, but two handguns during his ride share and threatened to kill his driver because the driver did not have cigarettes to offer him. Reports say the arrest happened over Thanksgiving weekend when the driver called saying his passenger threatened him. The driver said Mr. Long forced him to continue driving or else he'd shoot him. Fortunately, the driver was able to get out of the car and run off to call police. Mr. Long was arrested after a chase by police. One handgun was recovered as well as a backpack filled with marijuana, oxycodone, meth, bath salts, cocaine, and cough syrup. So we have this long list of charges, and with all he had in his bag, he really risked it all for Lucy. For one cigarette. Absolutely ridiculous. This has been Vivian with the Socially Conscious giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. You know, I tell you, excuse me, these stories are crazy. Well, first of all, let's talk about the COVID numbers. You know, one of the things, as you were reading the increase in the COVID numbers, I actually wasn't surprised because I remember when we first got hit with COVID in the early part of 2020, they said that the tail end of the year flu season that we would take an increase of COVID people, you know, so illnesses. So, you know, as you were reading and we were trying to see why these numbers have taken such an increase, well, that's one of the reasons why. It's following the pattern that it has been, that's happened. That's definitely happened. And they've been warning us that during flu season, it would take an increase. So I guess, you know, it's doing what it does.
Yeah.
But some of these other stories, I want to talk about the Derek Chauvin. Now, I get it. I agree that it has to be for him to change his plea from not guilty to guilty has to be something, you know, that benefits him. But what could he possibly get out of changing the plea now? He's already guilty. He's already been found, and he's been sentenced to 22 years. So pleading not guilty is not going to do anything to his time. So that's really weird. That's definitely really weird. I don't know. I was trying to really think of, you know, a purpose that he would get. You know, let's just pray that somehow or another he seen the errors of his ways.
Right.
I don't know, Viv. You know,
that would be nice, I guess. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's going to come out today. Isn't today the day he's going to go before the judge?
Yes, today is his hearing. I don't know if we'll find out, you know, like if that benefited him in any way, but today is the hearing.
Yeah, so if the hearing is today, we'll find out. We'll definitely find out why he's changing his plea, because he's gonna, you know, they're gonna have to say, you know, what's going on with this. So, you got some good stories for us here today. Thank you so much. We hope you
You're
feel
welcome.
Better. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. All right. Well, we got some stuff to quickly talk about before we get involved in our main conversation for the morning. Our elder, my teacher, joined us a little later. So we're going to go to her a little later so she can pick up on some of these crazy news stories that Vivian gave us this morning. So let's say good morning to our Lady Tamika this morning. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. How are you?
Feeling a little better than yesterday. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How are you today?
I am having an allergy bug. I have absolutely no idea what I put near my face, but I have been sneezing my poor little head off. It's getting better, but oh my gosh. You know, once you get it, you know, you wipe your face, you blow your nose, all of that is tender, like raw. But, you know, God is good. I'm still here. So I thank God. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for pressing your way. Thank you for pressing your way. What story do you want to talk about this morning?
Wow. There's so many. I think I'm going to go with the increase of guns and those type of things in the school system. My heart goes out to, you know, the youth that feel that they need to protect themselves, you know. I remember when I was in school, we didn't have detectors, you know, and now just about every school that you can think of, you know, has them because children feel that they need to protect themselves. That's a really scary thing because you're talking about, a child who, you know, is fightful, you know, and people in general, when they're fightful, you know, they're bound to, you know, attack the wrong person, you know, in their own defense. You know, you can take somebody's life and not necessarily mean or intend it to be that particular person. So, you know, it scares me that there's an increase of gun, you know, it doesn't surprise me. However, it is very concerning that, you know, youth feel that they need to bring it into school.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, you know, the young lady brought up, not that there was necessarily a concern in the school. Her concern was in her commute to school. You know, this guy, you know, rubbing up on her or pressing his, you know, himself up on her. You know, just to think that, you know, you got to be worried about your commute to school, and that's why you're bringing, you know, weapons and things like that to school is terrible. You know, it's like they don't have enough to be concerned with, you know, in the school. Now you gotta be worried about your commute to school and protecting yourself en route to school, right? Can you imagine that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a runner, you know, and, you know, during certain times of the year, you know, I run, and I'm going to be very honest, because this world has changed. You know, I carry things with me, because as a female commuting by yourself, whether you're walking, whether you're riding a train, you don't know what anybody else has in their mind. You don't know what their mindset is, and you have to protect yourself. You know, you can't just be walking around with blinders on, because people have ulterior motives. You know, just in my own neighborhood, you know, there was a woman who was dragged from a specific spot, and she was raped, you know, and killed, you know, ultimately. And unfortunately, you know, it does bring alarm. You have to be careful, especially if you're a person who commutes by themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tell you, it's really some kind of world we live in, that every step of the way we have to worry about protecting ourselves. Ooh. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to holler at Shantice, who's going to join us this morning. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. That's good. Well, what story do you want to talk about this week?
I want to talk about the dumbest criminal.
Fire away.
Even though I want to talk about it, I can't really, is there really much you can say like that? You're talking about slowness at its best. You know you have all of this on you. You shouldn't even be sharing a ride with anybody. Because, you know, normally you got all that stuff on you. It's like, you know, you're a little nervous. You don't want anybody to help you with your bag. You don't want to do this because you know what you're carrying. And it's like, and now you go and you threaten to kill this man for a cigarette that you probably wasn't even going to smoke. So he was probably high off of each product he had in his bag when he pulled that stunt. Because that was just like, that couldn't have been a plan. There's no way you could have planned that.
But, I mean, this must have been some heavy book bag.
Well, maybe he had one item from each project. Maybe he just had the pipe for the meth and one, what was it, 1 gram of coke, however it go, I don't know. Maybe 1 dime bag of weed. He must have smoked and injected and everything that he had up in there. That could not have been a plan to say, I'm going to get in this Uber and I'm going to stick him up for a cigarette. You know they don't give you no cigarettes.
Right. And that's the part that's so sad that, you know, now you're going to face some jail time. And it's really, at the end of the day, just probably a byproduct of him getting high off of,
right,
like you said, all of these different methods or narcotics, we should say. All these different narcotics, and now you're getting in a car and you're going to get mad because the driver doesn't have a cigarette. They don't even offer cigarettes. So,
I could have thought, you know, if you were hungry and they ain't have no food, you know, give you something to drink and you ain't got nothing to eat. It's a little different. But you know they ain't giving you no cigarettes or anything. And like Vivian said, you know, you're leery even when you see like the, because, you know, some of them, they have like the bottles of water in the door.
Right.
You know,
right.
And when you look at it, you can tell it's not open, but it's still like, yeah, I'm good. No. You know, so it's like they're doing their part to show that they're trying to look out, you know, and make you feel comfortable and supply you with, you know, whatever. But, you know, these people are crazy. Let's pass it to her saying.
Right? Right? You know what she would be saying right about now?
Yes.
We're in,
yes,
our last evil days. Absolutely. When you're getting, you know, in the vehicle, expecting to get this type of item, you know, handed to you or offered to you. So pretty much we can cough that one up, Shanti, like you said, to say, you just high.
Right.
But thank God the Uber driver, you know, was safely, you know, out of the car and he could contact somebody. Because it's really sad, you know, that, you know, these people are here trying to make a living.
Right.
And, you know, you got to be, you know, on alert and all of this kind of stuff, you know. But not only that, but thank God now, you know, it's just like we were talking the other day about the Florida incidences. They have all your information. So that's the other good thing. You know, he wasn't able to get away with this completely because they do have his personal information if he's an Uber passenger.
Right. And I also, as you were talking, Pastor Steph, thank God that he didn't accidentally drop any drug paraphernalia, anything in the car when he was getting out. Like, let's say he didn't pull that stunt. Because had the Uber driver gotten pulled over, then that would have been found in the car.
Right.
And had you gotten the wrong cop or had the Uber driver been on our side of the fence, they wouldn't have cared. You could have had about 15 Uber stickers showing that you have passengers in and out your car all day and all night. It don't matter. It's your car. We found this in here. It belongs to you. You're going down for it.
Right. So, you know, giving God thanks. There's always something to give God thanks for. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to say good morning to Elder Nitesha. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
You're good. That's good.
Yeah.
Were you able to catch any of the stories?
No, I came in just as you were saying. Thank you, Vivian. I could piggyback off of what I think I picked up from what my sister Tamika was talking about with, you know, kids feeling like they need to be safe, you know, and carrying guns. You know, this continues, you know, my soapbox on this, it continues to be an assault against our children. And so now, while we're trying to reduce gun violence, right, because of all of these issues that are happening in schools with kids, you know, emotionally unstable, and like as a result of everything that has happened with COVID, not really being socially, like I don't think this generation is social and has socially developed like we have back in the day. And so I think they're more sensitive, and I think that's what makes having guns in their possession at school so dangerous. Because if you perceive that you're being picked on or bullied, right, or if you are, then that is an explosion waiting to happen. And so it's sad that kids feel like they need to have guns in order to be safe, but it's also they're not mature enough to handle the responsibility of carrying, you know, weapons.
Absolutely. I want to talk real quickly. Where's Vivian? Is she still with us? Vivian's mic is actually still on. I want to, being that you brought, you piggybacked off that, I really want to talk about the story of the 15-year-old boy who took the gun to school, and now they're charging his parents. And I'm like, hooray!
Wow.
Now we're getting somewhere. Viv, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, do me a favor, please. Let's go over that story again about the 15-year-old boy. I do want to talk about that for a quick minute, please.
Okay. Let me pull it back up.
That's one I definitely want to talk about, especially in the light of the yesterday and Monday, where we were talking about these judges who are just really, off the beaten path with not holding these people accountable for the crimes that they're committing.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're ready, everybody.
Okay. So you have the story of Ethan Crumley, the 15-year-old boy who shot up his Michigan school, killing 4 students and injuring at least 8 others last Tuesday. This all took place at Oxford High School. No motive for the attack has been established as of yet. The parents of the 15-year-old Ethan Crumley have also been arrested and charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. It is reported that James and Jennifer Crumley refused to take their son out of school after staff told them he showed warning signs of violence and needed counseling. Reports say that Ethan drew a disturbing photo in class the day of the shooting. It is also reported that the weapon used during the shooting belongs to his father, James Crumley. The semi-automatic 9mm handgun was purchased just 4 days before the attack. Ethan is being charged with first-degree murder, terrorism, and assault with an intent to murder, and people are wondering if the parents were in on it. Nonetheless, officials say the arrest of the parents in this incident will begin to change how these types of incidents are handled going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Viv. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's about that time. It's about that time that the parents have to face the music. I'll have this conversation with you, ladies. You could get started on your comment, Elder Nitesha.
You know, I think that that's perfect. I think we are starting to see too many of these incidents happening, and I do think that in most of the scenarios where we've heard, you know, these in-school shootings, they have been at junior high schools and elementary schools where the kids are underage and have no business with a gun and still are under the responsibility of their parents. And so I think that this is how we get parents to start taking our children's mental health more seriously, right? We don't want to look at little Johnny and think that little Johnny is troubled. But if little Johnny is troubled, we have got to take action on it. We can't be too busy. And I do. My heart goes out to parents who, you know, I understand you got to work and you're trying to just figure it out. You know, you don't want your child's mental health to be an issue. But if it is an issue, we have got to take action. We've got to get help. And we've got to think about our community and think about where we're sending troubled Johnny into. You know, lovable little, oh, he don't mean no harm. No, he's causing harm, and he's showing you that he has the potential to do so. So you must do something about it. And when you don't, you too are held responsible. I think that's perfect.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, what's your thought on this? You know, is this justice, especially with our conversation over the past couple of days? Is this a step in the right direction?
Sorry, talking to the mute button. I really do think that it is, because a lot of times, especially in your own individual household, you recognize that your child has an issue. And you know, I get it. You know, I understand, you know, trying to take care of a child just, you know, on an everyday basis can be a lot. And then when you have one who is troubled, it's even harder, and not knowing where to go and who to go to, but ignoring it is no longer acceptable. You know, we've had so many times where, you know, lives are taken and the end result is, oh, he had a mental issue. And then it's kind of almost swept underneath the rug, you know, and that's it. You know, oh, he had a mental issue, and then that's it. You know, I think it is important that you try to get the resources that you can, look into it, you know, because other people's lives are involved. It's not just, you know, and I'm not saying that a life, you know, an individual taking their own life is not a value. It is. However, you know, people are not just taking their own lives out. They're taking other people's lives and then taking their own, you know, and it's important that you take care of, you know, what's going on in your household so that it doesn't affect other people's lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shanti, you know, we're constantly hearing about these children who are getting a hold of these parents' guns after, you know, they have been reported, you know, to have, you know, these problems in school and things like that. What's your thoughts, you know, as far as now you're pointing the finger back at the parents?
What did Vivian say that the school told the parents as to why they should pull the child out of school? I forgot what she said.
Something about him being troubled. He was having trouble.
Right.
He was troubled.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they were completely negligent, because even if you're not thinking something extreme, for the school to call you and say, you need to come and get him because something is going on where we can't deal with it, and then tell you what it was and that we dealt with it. You know, normally that's what schools do. The children does something, they take action, and then they let the parents know what happened, how they took action, why they had to take the action that they took, and then that's it. And then the parent takes it from there. If we can't even take action, a whole lot of red flags should be, you know, going up before your eyes. And I'm really not seeing how it's a coincidence that the school tells you this, you hear this, and you get a gun, and 4 days later he happens to get his hands on the same gun and now ends up at the school with it. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how, you know, because either there was talk out loud around him of you getting this gun and he was planning on using that, or it, and with the crazy stuff that's going on now, it's not too far-fetched to think that the parents did have something to do with, even if it wasn't directly, but it's just too much going on right now. Them being negligent alone was just like, look, you're responsible for the people who were injured, the people who passed. Like, you really, you do have to take ownership. Because the school did their part. You can't blame the school. You know, the school, because normally the school sees those things and they say nothing. There have been cases like that where, you know, people, students have gone and shut up the school, and then afterwards you have teachers or whomever come and say, well, they did show a video of murder, or it's okay, now you tell us, but they did their part. You didn't do your part.
Absolutely. You know, here's my question, ladies. You were told first that your son had a problem. Why are you buying a gun? And
right.
How negligent were you that you didn't put this gun up? So now you see why the people are thinking that you possibly had some plan in action. Because what was the purpose of you buying the gun after you had the report that your child had issues? For what? Well, needless to say, that was a bad decision. But now 4 lives later, how many people have been injured because you felt the need to have a gun and allow your child to get a hold of it? Everybody needs to go to jail. Absolutely. Put them all in jail and let them be in jail number 1, jail number 2, and jail number 3. Everybody serve time, because this is a travesty. Absolutely a travesty. Absolutely. And, you know, it's just a mad, it's really a bad situation when we are so negligent as parents to just get these guns and put them in the home and not put it up. Like Shanti said, how'd you know there was even a gun in the house? Somebody talking, somebody doing something. So hopefully we'll hear later, excuse me, that, you know, everybody has not just been charged, but they have been found guilty, and, you know, they are now sentenced to some serious time, where this would be an indicator to anyone else, any other parent, that you need to be on the ball. You need to be on the ball. So I definitely wanted to talk about that one this morning. Thank you so much, ladies, for indulging me. I want to move into our topic today. You know, yesterday we had some news stories, and one of the news stories was a judge who had someone, a young man, 20 years old, who admitted and pled guilty to 4 counts of rape, 3 16-year-old young ladies and 1 15-year-old young lady. And he, after he pled guilty, the judge prayed, so he said. He prayed over his decision during of this sentencing, and he agonized, and he ended up coming up with no sentence at all. No time he was giving these people, and or this young man. And then we talked about the father who is a pastor, and, you know, because his daughter associates herself with and identifies as a pansexual individual, that, you know, he wants to support her. He's been known for supporting the LGBTQ community. He's offered this job with We Here, HBO series, where they go to and from throughout the United States to different towns and cities, recruiting people in the local city to become drag queens. And he actually accepted this position in this show, and he started doing this with them. And the congregation was like, absolutely not. Well, I came across something last night, and you know, it really made me think of these two particular cases. You know, these people claim Christianity. At one point or another, they had to have some desire for God, so they say. Now, we may not know the God they serve. We mm-hmm. may not agree. But we do know that we do have Christians who, we always talk about this, you know, when they first find God, quote-unquote, or find Jesus or accept Jesus, there's this hunger and this thirst and, you know, this vibrancy and we're all out there and, you know, we're pursuing God. And then after a while, the fire starts to die. And I would like to think that somewhere along the line, this happened with these two gentlemen, that somehow or another they took their eye off of God, and now they are no longer hungry for God the way they initially were. So I came across this article, and I thought it would be wonderful for us today to talk about how did you initially become hungry for God, and how do you stay hungry for God? And I think, you know, sometimes we need those reminders, and I think you ladies are more than capable enough of helping our listeners, you know, get through this process. You know, just in case the fire has dulled, you know, and the coals aren't as hot as they used to be, you know, well, what do you ladies think? You know, I think we can definitely utilize this opportunity to help our listeners just in case, you know, this is something that's going on with them. What do you think? You ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah. All right. Well, one of the things they talk about when they say, you know, this is a way to become hungry for God, and they say you must hunger and thirst for what is right. You first got to even acknowledge what's right and wrong, and you've got to have that hunger and thirst just to, you know, to be on the side that's right. What do you think, Elvin, Aisha?
I think that's biblical. It's according to the Word of God that, you know, we ought to be able to identify with the character of God, and I think that's what studying the Bible is about. And so our ability to continue to thirst and hunger after what is right is to continue to learn about the God that we serve. And in understanding his character and understanding his strategies and understanding the ways that he moves with us, understanding the commandments and the things that he teaches us, you know, and if you're wanting to know where are the first places, you know, to kind of start to get that full, you know, like those practical understandings, I would say start at Proverbs. I think Proverbs is an amazing book that deals with just some practicalities about how we are to conduct ourselves as Christians. I also love Psalms because I think David does an amazing job with the human experience to some of the difficulties that we face in life. So I think that's where you start. I think it's being able to understand the character of God and staying true to understanding that. That's how you begin to identify between right and wrong. It's that which is of God and that which is not of God.
Ah, nice start. Lady Tamika, you know, you got to have some semblance of understanding what is right and what's wrong. And that's the beginning of your hunger for God. What do you think?
Well, I definitely agree. And I find that some people have gotten to the point where they just turn a blind eye. And the more you turn a blind eye to things, you become at a point where nothing affects you. you know, oh, well, I'm not surprised. However, you know, it is important that you have a desire to know the difference, you know, even as Elder and our teacher was talking about, you know, the scriptures, you know, we're going into Psalms 34 and 14, turn away from evil and do what is right, strive for peace and promote it. You know, these are the things that, you know, it's clear in the word that that's how we're supposed to live our lives. And the more that you draw near to God, literally, he will draw nigh to you, and you'll know the difference, and you'll be sensitive, not just having sympathy for a situation, but actually having empathy, actually feeling it, and, you know, having the need to care for the people who are affected by whatever situation you hear or see.
All right, all right. Chantis, you know, you have the scripture, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How does that tie in with that, you know, initial hunger and thirst for what is right, to even get started with that hunger for God?
Well, understanding that you don't want him unless he wants you. And that he chooses the one that he calls out of the world to now live on his terms. When you just start learning about who he is and what he stands for, and when you start learning about his standards and his morals, it starts to automatically, like, put that mirror up. You know, you put the mirror up to yourself. Like, so if God says, you know, you're reading how he feels about drinking, you're reading how he feels about profanity, you're reading, and if these are things that you're doing, then now automatically you're going to see, okay, well, I'm getting to know what it is to be for him, I have to stop doing these things. So now you start to, even if it's a little battle or a little struggle here or there, you start to now like the things that he likes. And even if you're still in the habit of, let's say, cursing, and, you know, when you curse, it's like, oh, okay, no, wait, I need to stop saying that, because you'll start feeling that conviction and everything. So it comes with really understanding what his morals and standards are.
All right, all right. Oh, Lady Tamika, they bring up the point, and I really like this one. They say you need to fill your own needs with God. Replace your needs with God. How would you like to elaborate on that one?
As you draw near to God, the things that you know in your life change. You know, there's a saying that says, you know, you want to tell God your plan. You know, it rearranges. You could give him, okay, this is my list of things that I want to do, you know, and what ultimately happens is the more you get to know God and love him, you'll see that, God, I need more of you. I can't even function with everything that I think that I know. I'm completely clueless without you. And your life becomes a totally different thing by drawing closer to him. You'll find your needs change, your desires change. Even the people that you socialize will change. And it's to your benefit, you know. And it helps you to grow. It helps you to know a lot more, and it helps you to see a lot more, and it helps you to be able to help other individuals. Even when you think that you're not able to, you'll find, wow, you know, I didn't know that. And if God hadn't aligned me with this particular person, then I wouldn't be where I am. And there's so much growth in just literally allowing him and melding your needs into his.
Very good, very good. Chantis, you started talking about this in your first presentation, but, you know, they're really saying that you need to replace your own needs. You know, when you, like you said, the drinking and the profanity, when you start seeing yourself do that, you know, turning all of that around and replacing that stuff with God.
Yeah, making sure that your that he's the source of everything that you desire, you know, because, like, what is it that you're seeking in the things that you do? Why do you have the habits that you have? What fulfillment are you getting from it? And when you understand that God has to be the foundation of your needs and the foundation of you feeling good, then you start to lose interest or, like, okay, so what's the point in doing this anymore? What's the point in doing that? Everything else is so short-lived. After a while, I'm going to need to go back to do it to now get that feeling again. But you don't have to do that, you know, with God. You make sure that you go to him for that initially, and he'll continue to replenish you on his own, especially if you're staying, you know, spending time with him, studying, reading, going to church, you know, staying around like-minded people. He'll make sure you don't necessarily have to literally go and now seek something the way you would have to do with the other habits and stuff that we have in the world.
Absolutely. Ellen Natisha, I'm looking at something here, and I like this statement. It says, when you fill your own needs your own way, your satisfaction will be temporary. Did we lose Elder Natisha? Or are you talking to the mute button, Elder Natisha?
I sure was. I want to give place to the fact that we do live in this human experience, right? Because I think sometimes we, you know, kind of turn people off when we are talking because we don't leave room for the truth about our human experience. And it is that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and so we will lose focus. Our eyes will shift off of God, because when we start being more concerned with our own needs, that's really what has happened, is that there has been a shift in our perspectives. We begin to focus more on ourselves and what we desire and what we want to see happen. And when we do, I love the statement because it's the truth. When you've lived a little while, what you realize is that what you really yearn for is deeper than your response to it, right? So your response to it, it is temporary, because you're thinking that, oh, you know, this void that I have with feeling loved can potentially be cured in a relationship with a man. You're thinking the hole that I feel, the void that I feel in my life can be filled with money, or it can be filled with a career. It can be filled with a friendship. And even when you find yourself obtaining all of those things, what you realize is that the void that exists in us is the space where only God can reside. And so then how do we shift our perspective back? How do we avoid the temptation that is a part of our human experience to start trying to make things happen for ourselves? I think many of us are guilty of it, and we constantly have to pull ourselves back, which is where the hunger and thirsting comes from. It's in the name. It's in the name. I love that. That just came out of my spirit. But it's in the name. Like, everything about who God is, if we understand him to be Adonai, Adonai means that he is Lord and master over my life. So when I decide to want to take charge, I begin to recognize that I don't know it all. I don't know it all. What I'm thinking I need, that I've tried to fill with so many other things that were temporary and that failed, it's because it really couldn't satisfy the deep yearning and quenching that is in me, that really is coming from my spirit that is yearning to reconnect to my maker, the one who created me, the one who knows me. That's the yearning. If I'm disconnected. Sin is nothing more than the fact that we are disconnected from Jesus. And when we are disconnected from Jesus, then we have this yearning that is in us, that our spirit is crying out to be reconnected to God. And so anything other than God is and can only be temporary. One of the other names for God is Jireh. He's our provider. Everything that we need, the truth is, he's already established for us from the beginning of time. We just got to walk out the process to get to it. And it's frustrating. it's frustrating to walk out the process to get to it, but if we just understand the name, if we understand in whom we serve, we understand that as Adonai, he is Lord and Master, and as Jireh, he is my provider, and anything else is substandard.
Ah, absolutely, absolutely. Ladies, you have definitely gotten us started off on a wonderful path, wonderful path. We're going to take a quick, put a quick pause here, and we're going to give time for Techie Talk. Let's say good morning to Dwayne. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. Good morning, sis. Welcome back.
Well,
welcome
you.
Back,
thank
sis.
Thank you so much. Thank you. How are you today?
We missed you. I'm doing fine. We missed you, sweetheart. We miss you. It's not the same every Wednesday for me. I know it's not the same for a lot of the listeners every day. But I'm glad that you're back and glad that you're doing okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to hear your voice as well. What you got for us? I've been missing you.
Oh, man. I'm doing fine. I got a few things to cover real quick, and I'm going to go as fast as possible. Well, first things first. I think I had spoke about purchasing a video doorbell, and I finally got one, you know, and it wasn't that expensive. I caught one on Black Friday, and this thing is fantastic, man. It was pretty easy and straightforward to set up. It's called Eufy. Eufy. There's several of them out there. One is called Ring, and another one, I forgot the other names of them, but there's several of them out there that they work their video doorbells, and they do different things and have different features and all. So what I did, I went on YouTube and took a look at some of the videos that talks about each one of the, you know, the video doorbells. And how they work pretty much is that you you can use your existing doorbell, your chime or doorbell. You can take it out if you like to, or you can actually disinstall this thing, and it works off of a battery that you have to recharge. So every few months, you got to take it down, bring it into the house, and then charge it with a USB-C, you know, cable, and charge it up for a couple of hours and everything, and then, you know, put it back outside and let it do its thing. The one that I have, it can actually record motions, and also does facial recognition, which is really cool and everything. Yesterday, we had a delivery stop by, and she just pretty much threw the box on the steps. You know what I mean? It was so funny because not only did I get that notification, but that notification also went to my wife. So you can have as many people to share the videos or events that come up as much as you want, you know, for, you know, like email access. So also the one that I have, you don't have to do a cloud subscription. I have an actual base unit that I have in the living room. And it actually, you know, makes the noise. And this particular unit connects to my existing Alexa device in the house. So not only can I talk to the person at the door through the Alexa device, but I can also listen. And last but not least with that is that I have a Fire Stick on all of the TVs in my house. And this thing actually, with the command, you could actually bring up the video on your TV. It is so cool to have. I'm in the living room and the doorbell rings, and you know the picture of the video comes up on the TV, and I can actually see who's at the front door. You know, so and it also shows up on your phones as well. Real cool device and everything. I highly recommend it. If anyone's interested in finding out more about it, they can reach me at 646-361-4698, 646-361-4698. One more thing I need to share is that I got in contact with this young brother called Leroy Mack. financial planner, financial expert, and he talked about infinite banking. And that's a hot subject right now, that you could become your own bank, okay? And he also appears on a radio show called Rejoice at 9 o'clock every Thursday at 102.3 FM. Wonderful brother and everything. You know, I also left his information on Coach for Christian Life along with the UP information on there. So God bless everybody. If you have any need any help with anything, any IT-related stuff or whatever, just give me a buzz, 646-361-4698, 646-361-4698. And welcome back, sister. I love you. You know, I'm glad that you're back on the air.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that vital information. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right. Enjoy. All right. Ooh. So go check that stuff out. Go check that stuff out. Oh, ladies, getting back to our conversation. Nice start as to how we need to definitely become hungry for God. Now, I want to kind of move over to how we stay hungry for God. And one of the things that I see that I happen to love, the first two things I really, really fell in love with, one of the things that says, feed the appetite that you have for God. Ooh, I like that one. I really like that one. And so I think we're going to start with you. How we, you know, you stay hungry for God by feeding the appetite you have for God.
Again, staying around like-minded people who are striving for the same lifestyle, who are on the same walk as you, making sure you stay in your word, reading, studying, even if you can't always have a thorough study, but making sure you commit to at least, you know, reading a verse, you know, have verses automatically sent to your phone every morning or every night, you know, just staying in contact with God, just talking to him as well as praying, you know, just having conversations with him, you know, and whatever else it is that you can do, not only in the morning or at night, but also it's very important throughout your day. Any little things you can do throughout your day to stay connected with him because, you know, whether you are still, you know, working when you leave your home or whether you're working home-based or whatever you're doing, you still, you don't know what it is that you're going to come across or come up against. So you have to make sure that you're just always in that mode of just being ready to approach it. But you already have the appetite. He's giving you the appetite, so now you have to do what you need to do to maintain it.
All right, all right. Elton and Tisha, says feed the appetite you already have for God.
I think encounters with God is where our theology becomes reality, right? We can have a knowledge of God. We can have a understanding of God, but it's in our encounters with God. It's our experiences with God. And so we want to place ourselves, you know, in community, you know, similar to what Shantice is saying, to, you know, center yourself with like-minded people because they become your community, but also in your prayer time, right? You want to fill your life with opportunities to encounter God. So whether it's through friendship and you having conversation and, you know, you can often leave a conversation having talked about everything, but it's going to always land on the goodness of Jesus. And so you are able to leave that conversation feeling filled because you, you know, the two of you just having a conversation led you to this place of being able to encounter an aspect of God's character, aspect of God's provision, an aspect of God's love. So I think it's about really realizing the importance of our encounters with God, because our encounters with God is what makes our theology reality.
All right, all right. Lady Tamika, they say if you want to stay hungry for God, you got to feed the appetite you already have for God.
Definitely, you know, no one person, will continue to do that same thing throughout life. For instance, you know, a baby's not going to continue to eat baby food all their lives, you know. And the same thing happens with us, just as what happens in the physical, definitely what happens in the spiritual. So you get a little bit of that, you know. And what I find is the more I get, the more I want. It's different from a book that you read, in that you can read that book 20 times over and over and over, and it's the same. It's totally different with God. As you read your word and as you get into your word and as you, you know, have all different types of reminders, you know, I have books that I read that are Christian, Christian-based books. I have the Bible. I have friends that, you know, we text from time to time or we call. You know, there's always that reminder that God is there. And you can be amazed sometimes if you just steal away a couple of times with an individual and talk about God and his goodness, how amazing those conversations can be. And they get bigger and bigger because that's the type of God that we serve. He's awesome. And, I mean, there's not one specific word that we can use to call him because he's just that good. And as you get a spoonful, then you want a bowl full. Then as you get a bowl full, you want a plate full. And it gets larger and larger. And you grow with each mouthful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ooh, I love this one. These two were definite partners for me. And I'm going to close today with this one. I have some other stuff here that I definitely want to come back to. But before we go, I definitely want us to hit on starve the competing appetites inside of you. Oh, I love that one. I love that one. Solve the competing appetites. And I'm going to start with you, Shanti.
Dying to yourself, denying your flesh, not entertaining your triggers, or, you know, just not believing that you can indulge in it a little bit and then pull yourself out. It never works. But in order to starve it, you have to completely abstain from it, completely be away from it. And I think Elder Natisha mentioned it earlier. It is so difficult at times, especially when you're talking about strongholds, when you're talking about struggles. But then that's when you have to make sure that you're feeding the other side, your spiritual side, feeding your relationship with God even more. So if you would study 3 times, 4 times a week, you may have to go to now studying every single day. And yes, like, well, Dad, I only watch TV 1 hour a week. Well, we might have to cut that 1 hour a week out too, because now you have to make sure you feed into that a whole lot more so that you can completely abstain from the other side.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Lady Tamika, we feeding the hunger, you know, making sure we continue that hunger for God. That means we got to starve the competing appetite. Big word, starve.
A lot of times, you know, and Shantice is so right. A lot of times you figure that, oh, well, a little bit of such and such won't hurt. No, a little bit of such and such. But what we don't realize is that the more you give in to those things that are contrary, the more you become entangled, enchanted, mystified by those things, and you find yourself drifting away. You know, the human experience is all about that, you know, and drawing nigh to God is so important. You know, you'll find yourself, ooh, I'm not doing that anymore, you know, or I don't even find a zeal or a like or a desire. And it's not so much that, you know, it's just the love of God and the desire for God, the more you crave him, the less you'll have that desire for that thing. And it takes time. This is not something that's just going to happen overnight, you know, but you have to be dedicated to it, you know. Just like, you know, other people are dedicated to other things, when you're dedicated to God, then you find that you want more and more. And it is important to starve those things because they are an attraction. It's kind of like it's kind of like a fry, you know, it's just in your face all the time. And so the more you keep going at it, then you're distracted. And so it is important to stay on the side of God so that you can be a bigger person and that you can help other individuals. Realize that this life is not just about you, but about those that you come in contact with.
All right. Elder Nitisha, starve the competing appetite. How are we wrapping this up today?
Well, the word of God says, you know, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or to gratify its desires. And so, I mean, I think in the scripture, like even in Galatians, right, that's in Romans, but even in Galatians when it talks about if you walk in the Spirit, and kind of, you know, and stay connected to the Spirit of God, that is what kind of helps you to avoid and to starve out the things of, you know, of your flesh. And when we talk about your flesh, we're just talking about, you know, those things that, that quote unquote are natural, right? So like selfishness is natural. it's a natural thing. Greed is natural. Overeating is natural. There are all of these things that are unhealthy for us, that are not good for us, that just come easy for us. And that is what we talk about. When we say starve, we're talking about don't feed that at all. Don't give way to it. Don't allow it to enter into your mind. Don't allow it to enter into your heart. Because if you allow it to enter into your mind, you allow it to enter into your thought patterns, you allow it to enter into your actions and your behaviors, and before long, you're doing the thing. Paul says, the thing that I would do is the thing that I don't do. The thing that I desire to do most, please God, that's the thing I don't do. But the stuff that I don't want to do, that's the stuff I'm always leaning towards. Because that's a natural part of this flesh that we constantly are fighting. The way we starve it out is by diving full steam ahead into the things of God, fully understanding our prayer life is important, understanding how to have those encounters with God, understanding how to collect ourselves, to identify the character of God and make sure that our character aligns with the character of God. It doesn't mean you're going to get it right 100% of the time. God is not seeking perfection. He's not expecting that you are going to be perfect on this side. But he is expecting that you are striving to be more like him. And that is what this conversation today is about. It's about your ability to strive to be more like him. And in striving to be more like him, you move further and further away, starving those things that don't bring him glory. If worldly music puts you in a particular mindset, it sets your flesh in a particular place, you got to starve it out. You can't do it. If watching certain movies is going to put you in a certain place, you can't do it. You got to starve it out. So anything that is going to tempt you, that is going to move you, is going to readjust your focus into something else that is in opposition to God, that's what we mean when we say you got to starve it out. You can't participate. You can't go out with your friends every Saturday and Sunday. Discipline is one of the ways that you starve it out. You can't give in to the things that come natural. Some things that come natural, we have to avoid it because it's in direct opposition to who we desire to be in God.
Amen. Man, you ladies have done a fantastic job in helping our listeners, you know, reminding them how to become or stay hungry for God. I pray that you have a blessed day as, you know, you have allowed them to kind of marinate and hold them off until God spares next week where we continue this conversation. Have a blessed one.
Amen. Bless you, sisters.
Amen.
You as well. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. You too. We have come to the time of the hour where we are going to get our Sober Fear segment. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. I miss you. How are you?
I miss you more. Oh, thank you so much. Hear your voice. Got an opportunity to hear all you ladies today, and I'm so excited. And giving God thanks that we're able to hear from you today. You know, as we've been talking, we're talking about ways to become or stay hungry for God. And in the last couple of days, we've been talking about some real weird ways that we can disconnect from God. You know, what's the faith over fear concept we're bringing today regarding this?
Well, first of all, I do want to say I miss you listeners too, and the Due Time crew also. I wanted to say that as far as that, when we get into self and know our weakness, we have to first acknowledge what we are weak in, and then we have to repent about it. And then after we do that, then we can confess it. Then we have to go into when that urge starts to kick up, because every day something is going to come into your mind, and you will have to be able to put your flesh under subjection. And we have to be able to know that wherever our weakness is, that, you know, there's scriptures for everything. So we have to go there. Sometimes it goes into laziness. It always reminds me of, just as well as, like, one day you might say, you know, I'm going to take today off and don't go to work or don't go to church. And then the next day it comes, you know what, I'm going to go tomorrow. Then you don't go, you know. And then as time go on, you will end up, it'll be a week done went by, 2 weeks done went by. Now you don't want to do it, period. It's the same thing as when we put down the Bible. You know, we are, okay, I didn't read it today, I'm going to read it later. How many times have you go to pick it up and you fall asleep, and then the next day come, and then the next, you know, and because of our flesh don't want us to read it for it to be under subjection, for us to get closer to God, that's what we have to stay focused to. Just as well as, like, somebody had said about the TV, I think it was Natisha, Elder Natisha, about watching TV, the movies and stuff. Once you start it, because you're feeding what the flesh wants, once you see that, you have to turn to God and be able to know, is God pleased with what I'm doing? Is God pleased with what I'm watching? What am I getting out of this show? You know, one of the things that I know that the Lord had did for me, it got to where that even in the commercials, I started looking for, show me what is in here of God, and make a game for yourself. You know, try to, like they were saying, read more, being able to listen to the music. You know, whenever your mind starts drifting, start to pray. Do something else that, you know, we have games on our phone. Play a game, you know, to keep your mind sharp, to stay with the Lord. Some days is going to be better than others. You know, some days you might have it all together, and then when something might happen, tragedy, or, you know, somebody gave you attitude or whatever, you have to catch yourself, because you can fall into that. So you have to always stay, as they say, prayed up, continue to keep on talking to the Lord. I learned how to start talking to God out loud, walking down the street, because sometimes it'll get to you to that piece where you have to be able to confess who he is, know who he is in your life, and know what you need to do. So don't let that be able to, because you know that he got you. He's in every part of your life, every situation, every circumstances. So you got to be able to continue to call on him. And don't be fear of wanting to be with the Joneses, or, you know, want to be in with your friends. God's going to remove you from some of them, you know, because if they're not feeding you
and helping you stay focused on the direction that God has for you, then you have to, okay, I know I love you, but I must, you know, depart myself from them, come from among them, the word. You have to be able to say, you know what, I pray for you. I can't go here. I can't do what I used to do, and stay focused on God, because it's easy to fall. It's so easy. And you be done fell there and don't know how you got there. And then you got it's like starting all over. The one thing about the Lord, when you fall in a hole, you know all you got to do is lift your hands up and he will pull you up out of it. When you decided this is enough, oh God, because we all been there from the beginning. When we all wanted to run the street and do what we wanted to do, there was a day when you got tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's where you have to get to. Don't let your flesh override what God has brought you to, and continue to press forward and to know that he got you wrapped up. If you got to cry on the side or whatever, run. Like Forrest, run. Run home. Whatever you need to do to keep yourself out of harm's way, and know that God has you and he will help. All you got to do is ask him to help you in that spot that you are weak in, and trust and believe in him, and know that he will do what his words say he will do, you will be all right. Don't worry about what people say about you or your enemies. He got you covered. So this will continue to stay focused on God and continue to press way and know who you need to call. Ask God, who shall I call that's going to help pray me through this and hold my hand and be able to be my mentor, and you'll be able to be all right. But even if nobody is there and he say, nope, it's just me and you, know that he got you. It is just me and you. God bless you.
And thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for that Faith Over Fear segment this week. Glad to hear your voice. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same, and everyone else.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me read our benediction for today. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11 and 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm looking at again, you know, the news that we have been going covering, and again, when we think about just the two instances we talked about yesterday that I brought up again earlier, is scary, because, you know, sometimes we think that we have it all under control. Sometimes we believe that once saved, always saved. Sometimes we believe that, you know, we don't have to stay in it, like the ladies talked about. All four of our ladies, you know, talked about how and what we need to do to stay hungry for God. You know, it's one thing to actually become hungry for God, but it's another thing to stay hungry for God. And I loved those two pointers when it says feed the appetite that you already have for God. Focus. Focus. That's the key word. Focus. Focus on what got you there in the first place. We don't have an opportunity. We really don't. We don't have the opportunities we think we have. Because just like Pastor Charlotte said, sometimes, you know, we say, I used to always tell people, you know, stop telling me you only going to be out 1 week. Or when I call you and say, well, what happened to you this week? Stop telling me, oh, it's just this week. Because that 1 week can definitely help us cross over into that second week, that third week, that fourth week. And we do become more comfortable when we begin to step away, you know, the ladies have all said, make sure you starve, you fully starve. You cannot feed any part of that competing appetite, because that's what you were running from in the first place when you became hungry for God. You started to tear yourself away. Well, guess what? You're going to have to stay there. You're not going to be able to hold on to any of that stuff, because if you hold on to any of that, you're endangering yourself of being there and not being able to come up out of there. It ain't all that easy. Not all that easy. Because remember now, we've been studied. The Bible warns us to be vigilant. Be vigilant. Because the enemy is lurking to see who he can devour. He's not going to hurt. This is what we seem to forget. You know, we always underestimate. We always underestimate. We cannot underestimate the enemy. He is not just coming after us to hurt us. He's coming after us to destroy, to devour. That means that there won't be anything left when the time is over. And let me tell you something. Don't think it can't be you. I have heard some statements made the other day from someone who was baptized, and you know, from other people. I've told you before about how I ran into the ex-pastor, ex-minister in the furniture store, and it was nothing for him to tell me that he just doesn't subscribe to God anymore because of him watching his mother suffer so badly and die. Let me tell you something. You probably couldn't tell him that would have been him in the beginning of his journey, in the middle of his journey. But at one point, it became him. So make sure you do whatever it is you have to do to stay hungry for God. Because trust me when I tell you, oh, it can be you. So we have to make sure we feed, and we feed that appetite that got us there in the first place. And we don't stop. We don't stop. We just continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness for his name's sake. That's what we need to chase after. Continue to chase after God. Just like when you're hungry, you know, you don't eat for a certain amount of time and you're hungry, your stomach starts growling. Make sure that when even if you have a little growl, you go after that word. You go after that fellowship. You go after that communication and that special time away with God. Make sure that is on your agenda each and every day. And just like the lady said, man, make it your business to cut out those extracurricular activities more and more each day. Just start carving away another half hour away from whatever you are normally doing, and spend that time with God, whether it's listening to the music, whether it's listening, you know, to a sermon from your pastor, whether it's reviewing a Zoom meeting or some notes you took when you heard the sermon, or, you know, whatever it is, praying, call out somebody else's name to God. Think about something you're weak in. Spend that extra time with God, and I promise you will not stay hungry for the things that are not of God. You won't stay hungry for that appetite that you were running away from in the beginning. Make sure you focus on God. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew. Haven't heard from my Wednesday crew in a minute. So I give God thanks. Everybody is still hungry for God, and they're on ministering. My due time listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us today and being a part of our lives. Couldn't do it without you. Woo! Please make sure you choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God says, with Therapeutic Thursday, I love you.